New topic, an entirely new topic about doyik vadoymi. We're going back in the time of Shaul HaMelech on page 470, when David HaMelech was running away for his life. Hashem took away the malchus. Hashem sent Shmuel to tell Shaul that the malchus is now being taken away from him and will be given to Reacho HaToiv Mimecha. Mimecha, I'm giving to the malchus to your friend who is better than you, namely David. Shaul HaMelech sinned. He sinned multiple times. There are a couple of sins that he committed. The first strike was when Shmuel told him, wait for me, do not bring a sacrifice. There was an assembly of all the Jewish people, and they were going to bring a sacrifice to Hashem on a Bama Ketana, and the instructions were that Shaul should wait until the Navi, until Shmuel arrives. And Shmuel and the people were giving Shaul enormous pressure. We gotta go to work, it's late, it's time to get this over with, let's bring the carbon, we're not waiting anymore, Shmuel's never coming, v'chul v'chulu, and this was a test. And Shaul succumbed. He succumbed to public pressure. This is a major lesson for all leaders. All leaders, do not fall prey, do not become a victim of pressure, public pressure, when the matter is not correct. When you know as a fact that it's the wrong thing to do, don't be influenced by the public, by public opinion. You have to do what is right. They put enormous pressure to bring the carbon before Shmuel arrived. He brought the carbon, and then afterwards Shmuel showed up. And Shmuel said to him, strike one. Basically, strike one. You did a terrible, terrible chait. I told you to wait for me. I am the Navi. You're not the Navi. And you, even though you're the greatest person in Klal Yisrael, Mishichma Ulamala, you made a fatal mistake by not waiting, and that was strike one. Right, but this way, so you're saying that you go bus arrive, that since the majority, but okay, okay, I don't know the answer. It's a good question. I don't know the answer, the details. But it was a direct instruction. So this was not a matter of halacha. It was a matter. Torah la bashamayim. I know, but this wasn't a decision from heaven. This was a Navi. The Navi was the leader. The Navi, to a certain degree, was even greater than the Melech, to a certain degree. And the Navi told him, it's not a matter from Hashem. He told him, I don't know the answer. I don't know how to express it. I don't know the details. You're asking very, very good. But basically, Shmuel told him, I'm telling you, you must wait until I arrive. And it was a test to see if Shaul was going to do what was correct. It wasn't a matter of halacha. It's not a matter of osur mutter. It's a matter of following orders. So you're saying, why is Shaul the leader? The Melech is the leader. Why is Shmuel the leader? Why isn't Shaul the leader? Who's the boss? So it seems in the context of the story that Shmuel was the boss. Shmuel was the one who anointed Shaul to be the king. And since he made him the king, he was the boss. And he told him to wait. And he could have waited if he wanted. He told the people, no, we're going to wait. They would have listened. But they put upon him so much pressure, he could not withhold. He gave in. And that was considered to be a very, very great defect in his leadership, that he is easily swayed by public pressure. Okay, you're asking a very good question. Rabbi Lezer is asking a very good question. Well, who's really the boss? Isn't the Melech the boss? Okay, you're right. There are issues that have to be ironed out. Hopefully, one day we'll learn a safer Shmuel, and we'll
if Shmuel is transmitting Hashem's orders, so to speak.
So Rabbi Lezer is asking, but Torah LaBashamayim. So Rabbi Lezer is saying Torah LaBashamayim. He's asking a really good question. Even though in Echadami, who is the Melech? The Melech is Shaul. He is in charge. So the Navi tells him something. So is the Navi telling? So the Navi the Navi is telling him something. Okay, you're the Navi. Are you telling me in the name of Hashem? We have a principle, Torah labashamayimi. Okay, that's only halacha. This is a matter of a proper time to bring a carbon. There are cherets for the Navi. I don't know. There are a lot of different issues over here that have to be worked out to understand the full matter. But it's clear as day from the psukim, from Chazal, is that the one that was in charge in this instance was Shmuel. Shmuel said, do not bring the carbon until I come. There was an assembly, and that was he was instructed to do all of these things and to wait for Shmuel. Shmuel tested him. Shmuel came late. The people were very annoyed. They wanted to go to work. They wanted to leave. And they put upon him enormous, enormous pressure, and he gave in to them. This was a sign of his weakness. Weakness that he fell the pressure to public opinion. Okay.
It was not the pressure, because what happened, they just started to walk home, to go home.
He started to go home.
I have to do something.
So he shouldn't have cared.
The eagle was right.
Very good. The eagle, same thing. Exactly the same thing. The eagle was mamash naver. The eagle was avodah zara. Okay, that was the first problem. Then the second problem was. The other Avera saw, so there were a few things, but the last thing, the straw that broke the camel's back was in Milchemes Amalek. When they went to Milchemes Amalek, Shmuel gave instructions to kill every male, have no rachmanis, and kill every animal, every male, and everyone, and Shol did not listen. Shol preserved the animals, he preserved Agag. He did not kill Agag, the king of Amalek, immediately. And when Shmuel arrived the next day, he said to Shaul, I gave you orders to execute every living creature from Amalek. Why did you disobey? So he gave some excuses. And, you know, it's in this week's parsha, Rashi says even the best of the Egyptians smashed their skull. What was that said in reference to? They chased after Klal Yisrael and then afterwards all of the Egyptians, they got on their horses and their chariots, they began to chase the Jewish people to kill them. I don't remember the exact context, but Rashi says from one of the psukim of the sixth parashah, from here you learn an enemy is an enemy. Don't have rachmanis. Don't be smarter than Hashem. A person who has a record of being wicked is, don't have rachmanis. There is a time when there is no rachmanis. You see that today in this society, these horrible, very wicked people, they let them out on the street. They have all these crazy new things. They said, oh, you have to have rachmanis on this and that. And then what do? They go back and they murder people. They do terrible. Most of the crimes in this country are committed by people that have committed a crime before. And they will let out on parole, they will let out on this. The lesson is, a person has proven himself to be wicked, there's no rachmanis. There's a danger to society, and he doesn't deserve rachmanis. Especially criminals have no regret. Many criminals have no regret. They go before another judge, they have no regret. So what are you putting on the street? It's unbelievable. And this has been proven again and again here to Amalek. They have proven themselves. Asher korcha baderech vayizanev b'chokol hanecheh shulam achalech v'yatoyef v'yogeya. They have proven that they have no regard for Klal Yisrael, and they should be executed immediately. Shaul had too much rachmanis, and that cost him his meluch. And all this is really not even nogea al mizmar, but basically Shmuel said to Shaul, you've made him too many mistakes, and therefore the malchus is over. Hashem has taken the Malchus from you and will give it to somebody else. Who is Hashem giving it to? To David. David was then anointed as the king. Now this was a transition. This was a gradual transition. This did not happen overnight. And during this period of time of transition, Shaul felt the Shechina was leaving him and was going to David, and he could not live with it. He could not live with it, and he became abusive to David. And David had to run away, and Shaul imagined that David was a moirid b'malchus and went to kill him, chased after David to take David's life. And this mizmor describes one particular incident where David was fleeing for his life from Shaul, and he went to Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Noiv was one of the seven locations where the Mishkan stood in the history of Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan was in the Midbar for 40 years, then it was in Gilgal for 14 years, then in Shiloh for 369 years, and then it was in Noiv, and then in Givon for a total of 52 years. Okay, I don't know how many years in Noiv, how many years in Givon, but a combination of 52 years in Noiv and Givon, and then they built the Bayis Rishon for 410, and the Bayis Sheni for 420. One of the locations where the Mikdash stood, the Mishkan, the Shechina, the Mishkan stood, was in Noiv. And Noiv was a city. This was a time when Bamois, Kitanois were permitted. And it was a city of Kohanim, and they served, and they brought the Kurbanois. And that's where the center, the epicenter of Klal Yisrael was in the city. David was fleeing for his life because from Shaul. Shaul was trying to take it to kill him. And David was fleeing for his life. And it also, Chazal said that he was starving to death. There was a famine. There was nothing to eat. And David arrived in Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. He met with the Kohen Gadol, whose name was Achimelech. And he told him, I'm dying of bulmos. Bulmos basically means starvation. It seems that there was a famine. There was no food. But there was one thing there was the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him was standing on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. And for pikuach nefesh, an ordinary person is allowed to eat the lechem upon him. So David, he was a zor. He's only a Yisrael. He's not a kohen. And a zor is not allowed to eat the lechem upon him. But in this instance, because it was pikuach nefesh, David was dying of starvation. It was permitted, according to Halacha, to give David even the lechem upon him. David also said to Achimelech, I need weapons. They're coming to get me. Maybe you have a pistol. Maybe you have some type of, what's it called, AK?
An Uzi.
That's an Israeli weapon. An Israeli weapon. Maybe you have some type of weapon. So he says, yeah, we have here the sword of Goliath. David himself was the one who killed Goliath, and Goliath had a sword. And the sword of Goliath obviously was something very unique. We have it here in safekeeping. You need a weapon, we'll give it to you. So Achimelech, he was the Kohen Gadol of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. He gave David the lechem upon him. He gave David a weapon, the weapon of Goliath. And he did other things for him, for David. I'm not prepared with all the background in Sefer Shmuel to go through the whole source. There's a lot of Mefarshim, a lot of Midrashim. It's a very, very elaborate episode in the life of David. There's a lot to be discussed, but Achimelech did not know the scope of what was going on. Achimelech did not know that Shaul was trying to kill David. All Achimelech knew was David was running away, David was starving, and David was in a state of danger because of an enemy. Achimelech did not know the whole background, that David is running away from Shaul. He got caught in the crossfire. And there was a person there whose name was Doeg HaAdoimi, and Doeg HaAdoimi at one point was David's very good friend, but was extremely jealous of David, because in the Beis Medrash, whenever they had a Talmudic dispute, at the end of the day, David won the debate. Why? David had siyata d'shmaya la'asuke shmaya tzali with the hilchasa, because when David learned Torah, David learned Torah l'shma. Doeg, he learned Torah just to show off. Doeg had a brilliant mind. He possibly even gave better shiurim than Doeg. But when everything was said and done, the halacha always followed David. David was zoicha to achieve la suke shmaitza aliba de hilchasa because of his yiras shomayim. And Doeg was extremely jealous of David, and Doeg wanted to see David come to an end out of his jealousy. So he went and joined the side of Shaul. This is a big thing. You had to take sides. Are you on the side of Shaul or are you on the team of David? So Doeg, who was David's friend in Cheder and in Yeshiva, they went to Kollel together. So Doeg took the side of Shaul. And Doeg was present when David arrived in Noiv Ir HaKoyanim and saw how Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol of the city of Noiv, how he accommodated David, gave him to eat from the lechem upon him, and gave him the sword of Goliath, and gave him shelter. So Doeg ran to Shaul, and he said, you know, not only is David a Morid B'Malchus, the Kohen Gadol, Achimelech, and all the Kohanim, look what they did. They gave him the sword of Goliath, they fed him from the lechem upon him, and they did it, he lied. They did it in order to rebel against you. And the truth was, Achimelech had no clue what was going on. Achimelech had no idea. He thought that David was running from the Plishtim. He was running from some enemy. He had no clue that it was Shaul that was chasing after him. He didn't have WhatsApp, Achimelech. He didn't follow all the gossip, all the nonsense that goes on in this world. And he was an innocent bystander. But Doeg was such a Rasha. He used the information. This is Mamish, this Mizmor is probably the spitz of what they call today, Rabbi Chol, you correct me the right word, misinformation and disinformation. Both of them is where you take a kernel of news and you spin it however you want. And all the gullible people believe you. Okay, so they call this misinformation is where something is there. Yeah, and disinformation is outright lies. The story of Doeg HaAdomi is a classic limud in Tanakh of misinformation and disinformation. Fake news. This is not the main sugi. This sugi over here is David's response. David thanking Hashem, or David expressing his frustration as to what has happened. But the exact details of what happened is presented in Sefer Shmuel. Here, David escapes, he leaves, he gets the food, he gets the sword, he leaves, and shortly thereafter, Shaul arrives with his army, and he believes every single word of Doeg HaAdomi, every single word, doesn't do any investigation, doesn't do anything, and he believes it, and he says, therefore, Achimelech and Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, you're all conspirators, you're all rebelling against me, you're Chayev Misa, and he wipes them all out. Chazal say 85 people were killed.
Doeg himself.
Doeg himself, he's what he killed. Here, he killed him. Doeg himself, he told Shaul. So Shaul says, the one that brings the news should be the one that carries it out. Go kill them. Doeg killed with his own sword 85 people. Kidoshe Elyon. 85 people. Noiv Ir HaKoyhan, but that's when Noiv came to an end, and then the Mishkan was moved to Givon, into the next Givon. David here escapes, and David feels that there's a whole issue. David, people will say that David is to blame for the death of Achimelech and Noiv Ir HaKoyhan, only because David showed up in this location and they innocently gave him food and they gave him a weapon. Because of David, look what happened. The whole city was killed. They assume that by association that they're also conspirators, they're also rebelling against Shaul. So David, it bothered David to no end for the rest of his life that if David, when he was running away from Shaul, let's say he did not go to Noiv, he would have gone to Motel 6. Okay, he would have gone, Echves, he would have gone to some other location to hide. So we'll go hide somewhere else in some safe house. Why, David? Why did I have to go to the city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, where there are holy people, and now Shaul found out because of Doeg, and Shaul gave the order that they should all be killed? If I would have gone to some safe house, then this never would have happened. So this is something which indeed bothered David to no end the rest of his life, and he was a grama in the death of all of these holy people. And that's a very big problem. Now,
it's amazing that David and Doeg is 7 gematria.
David and Doeg is 7 gematria. Interesting. You're very good. They were friends. They were like, they're basically saying they really they were equal. Doeg and David, they both of them were Rosh Yeshivas. They were both the elite of their koila, whatever they were, and they were friends, and they were chavrusas, and possibly many people would have expected Doeg would become the Gadol HaDor. Doeg was even better, but Doeg's learning was misof of lachutz. His learning was insincere. It was just a show off for kavod. It wasn't l'shem shamayim. So to those who were naive, and you just would observe them, it was very easy to be fooled by Doeg that he was more charismatic, more dynamic, he more better koyach hasbara. This type of story repeats itself over and over through all the generations. Koyrach and Moshe. Who did people follow? So the Mesorah is that Koyrach was much, much more charismatic than Moshe. That's the Mesorah. Moshe was a kvad peh. Moshe was indecisive many times. Moshe didn't want to become the leader. Moshe held back a lot. People, the Mesorah is that they say from the Chassid Sherebis, they tell us that if we were living in the time of the story of Korach and Moshe, it's impossible for us not to be swayed by Korach. Korach was just—it was a knockout. He was out of the ballpark home run knockout. You go to Korach, listen, give a shiur. His presentation, his arguments, his charisma. It was a miracle that people still stayed loyal to Moshe. It was mamash a miracle. Korach was much more charismatic. Yeah, but only Hashem knows that Korach was not acting l'shem shemayim. Money talks, exactly. He was the richest man, exactly. The only Hashem knows the MS, that Korach was not l'shem shemayim. It was all just a game. It was all just... Everything, all his religion was nothing more than a tool to his glorify, to exploit other people. When someone takes religion and uses it as a weapon or as a tool to make parnasa, to make a life for themselves, to have covet is a very, very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Is that people, this happens in history again and again and again, where there are people that they find religion, Judaism, to be the perfect platform and tool to use to mislead people for their own personal gain, to have wealth, have honor, have a whole legacy, and they really couldn't care less about Judaism, about Hashem. It's just all for themselves. This is the story of Doeg and David. It's the story of Korach and Moshe, and the story of many other people in history who have done the same thing. So here, David over here, he narrowly escapes death from Shaul, and this collateral damage, a lot of collateral damage, that Doeg murdered Achimelech the Kohen Gadol, was the Mashiach Hashem, and as well as 85 Kohanim, which obviously were very holy people. And David over here thanks Hashem for surviving and expresses his frustration regarding the entire story. Lamnatseach, for the conductor, maskil l'David. What's the maskil?
Isn't it a coincidence
that
this is Nun
Bet,
Nov?
Oh, very good. Excellent. It's Nun Bet, Nov. Nov, Ir HaKohanim. Fantastic. Sir Kalman, when you were in Eretz Yisrael, we had a whole shiur for over an hour about Mizmar Nun Aleph, that it's called No. Ein No. Ella l'shoin bakasha. Mizmor Nun Aleph is the Mizmor where David begs Hashem for forgiveness of Bathsheba. From all of the Mizmorim where David begs Hashem, it's explicit. When Nasan Hanavi comes to David and says, David, you have sinned, and David's reaction is chotasi and he's mispalel, no, ain no ella l'shoin bakasha. So we had a whole discussion. Is there a significance? Is it a coincidence that Mizmor Nun Aleph, because this is the spitz of David, the spitz of Bakosha, of David Tehillim. Tehillim is David, being Mavakish. So now you're saying, you're proving that our Shira Nun Aleph is correct, because it's too much of a coincidence to say that there's no connection of Nun Beis Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. It's unbelievable. You're right. How could you not say that? How could you ignore It's unbelievable. It's blatant. What you're saying has to be. L'matzech maskil l'David. So what is the maskil? Okay, this is all about the pasuk base. We pasuk base. V'voy doiko adoimi vayaged l'shol. Doiko adom arrived. He told Shol. And he is vayaged l'shol vayom eloi. Notice the repetition. There's hagoda and there is amira. On Pesach, it's v'higadta levincha. Hagoda doesn't say vayom elevincha. Over here, doeg, he wasn't satisfied. Obviously, the first one, I don't see anyone talk about this, is that doeg, he presented, he made sure, he spoke many languages, he made sure to relay what happened both with the word vayaged and with the word vayomer. Obviously, each word has its connotation, and the fact that they're both of them together certainly indicates that he did a real knockout job on David. There was misinformation and disinformation. Vayaged is the misinformation, and the Yomer is the disinformation. Okay, he told them a whole story that wasn't even true. Vayomer lo, bo David el beis Achimelech. David has arrived at the beis Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, which means the beis Hamigdah, the Mishkan, that is in Nov, and they're all conspiring against you, the king Saul, king Shaul. Okay, now, what does it mean over here, the maskil? Why is this mizmor a maskil? Maskil means there is insight, there is depth of knowledge. What's the depth of knowledge here? Why is this called the maskil? So the Mitzudos, and the Farshim says something very important. Look at the Mitzudos David, if I remember who says what. Okay, maskil, bo yaskil, there's a lot to learn from this. This mizmor is a mizmor that should be studied when one studies the sugya of Lashon Hara. Sefer Chafetz Chaim, this is a critical mizmor to delve in to the consequences of Lashon. There's a lot to learn from this. And the one that really elaborates upon this in this mizmor, and at least in the pages I've learned over here, is the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim really presents the other part. They don't go into the same type of depth, but the Malbim says over here, go back to my commentary in Sefer Shmuel, and there in Sefer Shmuel, I analyze the psukim very well, and I show that. Shaul, that a doyeg basically either outright lied, or like they say today, he relayed misinformation. You take a kernel, you take a piece of news, and you twist it and turn it the way you want to interpret it, which is a lie, an outright lie. You take Achimelech gave him the lechem apodikus. So maybe we'll read some of the album. He explains he completely perverted, he hijacked the true story, and he completely manipulated the facts to present a case that the whole city of Noiv are all rebelling against Shaul, which could be nothing further than the truth. But look, I have all the information. And it's very powerful, Liman al-Musa, that, and you see this today all over the world, is that justice, it's nothing. If you have an agenda, you can take any information and you can twist it and turn it no matter how you want.
Look at his kidnapping story last week.
What, I don't even know what the story is.
Oh, gosh.
I don't even know what happened. I'm not paying attention.
Somebody
reported
nonsense.
A kid's
at a brisk. He didn't
want to
walk through a lake.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Right. So he took a kid. So who reported him?
Made into a kidnapping story.
The mother got a little left out.
The mother.
Arrested.
Mir Yishubacha.
Unbelievable. Like, just so missing disinformation out of control.
You can take anything. Outright blatant murder. Anything that you want, you can go and you can mamish. You see, they can give you countless.
How did the media pick that story?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Countless stories. Countless stories of how people can take a piece of information and do with it whatever they want. And the limud, and who's the first one to invent this? Doye ko adoimi. Doeg HaDavid, there was a story, David's on the run. They have nothing to do with Shaul. And what he did to David by taking this information, this is the story. This is the sugya of misinformation, and that's what the Mitzvah stuff it says. That's why it's called maskil. There's a lot to learn from this. Maskil means seichel. There's a lot to learn about this here. One more time, those words in the Mitzvah stuff.
I think at the end, when David gives the tzava'a to his son Shlomo, so he says, "Rasita kechokhmatecha."
Is that Doeg or that's
Shimon
and Gera? Yeah, Shimon. Yeah, so you know, David killed him. David, we'll see in the Midrash. David, this Doeg was a very, very crazy person. Doeg, according to the Midrash, according to the Chazal, say Doeg was the one who was present. There was a slave. That when they were coming to during the battle of the Plishim, when Shaul was about to die, he told a slave, "Kill me. If you don't kill me, then when they capture me, the Plishim, they're going to torture me. So kill me." So the slave, "I'm not going to kill him. I can't do that." So Shaul, he committed suicide. He fell on his sword, and this slave went and he ran to David, and he told David that Shaul's dead. So David says, "Who killed him? Who killed him?" So he lied, "I killed him." So David said, "You killed him?" And then whatever it says, David then killed him. According to what it says over in Mepharshim, you know that person was? That was Doeg. So Doeg, it was Doeg who was present when Shaul committed suicide. And Shaul asked Doeg to kill him. And then when he came, now he realized David's going to be the new boss in town. So now he wanted to humble himself. He wanted whatever his agenda was. But you see this type of person, he's not a person. He just takes on the role of whatever suits him at that point in time. Okay, he's just a phony. You find yourself in a situation and whatever suits you, like a politician, whatever suits you at that time, that's what you believe in. That's what you they show all these politicians, these clips, these politicians that they what they do now.
That's interesting that you say that because that's what's said about Edom itself. Edom,
the whole nation,
as a group, they are just a facade. There's nothing internal.
No substance. No. They have no. They have, their language is not their own language. They just.
So here we have what's his name?
Doeg.
From
Edom, exactly. Very good, very good. So all of the farsh they speak about right away, does that mean that he was a Jew? Maybe he was not a Jew. Was he a ger? Pashim Shad is, he was a full-fledged Jew. He happened to live in Edom. That's where his residence was. Like an American. The Americans are very good. The American Jews. You come to Erwitty, you're an American. It means you have the yichus, goes all the way back to Matan Torah, happens to be you're living now in the United States of America. You're a European, you're an Anglo, there's all these different nuschas, you're a Canadian, whatever. Right, Rashi says that. Rashi says you just happen to live with him. But others say no. Others say that Doeg was Taka Ager. Or maybe he even wasn't Ager, whatever, the different interpretation of what he was. Parshat Shad is, he's a regular Jew, he was David's friend, and he was a very big Talmud Chacham, and they were Chaverim, and only Hashem is able to see underneath the facade that he was a phony. And he took, and at the end of his life, with different stories, we'll see in the first time, he took advantage of every situation for to his benefit, even though it's a complete contradiction to his position on matters only a few weeks ago. Just like all the phonies out there in the world, they have nothing to offer. They have no values. No core values, no beliefs. It's just you embrace anything, the fat of the moment, in order to succeed and to get where you want to go.
They
want to
be on the winning team.
Right. Like I once saw this article, very, I always refer to this already many, many years ago, like probably 10 years ago, had in the Jewish Action, someone who wrote up, as someone who's a from Jew, I don't know how you can be a from Jew in this industry, is a screenwriter. A screenwriter. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a from person being a screenwriter?
Yeah.
I don't know how you can be, how it's possible. The contradiction, but he says he knows, and this person says he knows all the big actors and actresses, and he says most of them are nobody. They have absolutely
we know that
they have no core, no interest. their whole existence is the role that they play. They take on a role, and that's who they become. And that's them. And then when that film is over, they go to a new movie. And that's who they become. And when they have no business, when nothing is happening, you talk to them, they have nothing. Nothing. This is such a pillar. And the truth is that that's why they're successful. Because since they actually have nothing to themselves, they're such empty people. They have nothing. So that's why when they take on a role,
yes, it becomes them. Yes.
Because it does nothing, there are no limitations. And then when that role is over, you become someone else. A person that has morals, that was brought up a certain way, if you tell them, okay, we're giving you a role in some movie, and you're going to be a villain, or you're going to be some great hero, or you're going to be some this or that, this friction. I'm a faker. How could I go and play the role of this person where I don't believe in this? That's not where I come from. I don't accept these values. I don't believe in it. It's very hard for an actor to go against his grain to take on a role. But when you are nothing, when you are total nothing, you have no value, it's easy. There's no friction. And they do a very good job. They do a very good job in making believe they're someone who they're not. And then when that role is over, they go to the next. And at the end of the day, who are they? Nothing. That is doiko adoimi. A nothing. A total nothing. And every situation is just an opportunity to take advantage of. And to take on a role and to switch back and forth all the different sides. When David, when he was young, then he was the chavrusa. Well, David, I'm part of David's team. We're chavrusas. And then when there's a split between David and Shaul, and the winner appears to be, everyone has their bets on Shaul, and it appears that David's going to lose because David is just a minority going up against Shaul. Whose team am I on? I'm on team Shaul. And then when Shaul's about to die, whose team am I on? I'm on David's team. And then when he comes to David, did he kill him? Did he not kill him? Did you kill him or not? He didn't kill Shaul. But he sees that if he'll tell David that I killed him, then I won't only be on David's team, I'll be a general in David's team. So it's kedai to lie. There's no barriers. There are no limitations. You'll get away with anything you can get away with for personal gain. No limitations whatsoever. There are many politicians out there that are mamish, just like this. There's nothing they would not do, nothing, in order to score a few more points. And then when that doesn't work, so...
Or dollars,
or you name it, whatever it is. There's nothing, no number of people, lives, they couldn't care less. Thousands of people can die, you can have wars. They can have wars, and they can poverty, and of course people like agmas nefesh. Just on their own game. And then you can twist and turn every piece of information and say, and just, it's incredible. Where do you learn all this? What's the makar to study all this? Maskil le David. Bo yaskil esa'om lihizoher miloshoin hora. The lesson, there's a lot to learn from this mizmar. Okay, next pasuk in the Mitzudos. But there's no pasuk before. David now says about Doeg. He says to him the following. He makes the following observation: Ma tishalel biroa hagibor chesed kel kol hayom. There are many interpretations as to what this pasuk means. First is the Mitzudos. This is very, very, very straightforward, very simple. Pasuk Gimel Hagi. First of all, when it says over the word hagibor. So the Mitzudos David says, Gibor refers to David is giving a compliment to Doeg. Yeah. Doeg is the Arzeh Halavanon.
Really?
Know thine enemy. Yeah. Know thine enemy.
I would have taken it sarcastically.
Okay, maybe some of Farshim say that. It wasn't his Rebbe. It was his Chavrusa.
It's not right.
Nicole...
Not at this point. Not after.
Okay, but he calls him... He calls him over here a gibar, which means a gibar in Torah. A gibar in Torah. You are big time chacham, pas a gibar. Ata doik a gibar ba Torah. Ma tishtabach atzmechol bihara osha sitzli. Why do you pride? Do you glorify yourself in the harm you've caused me? b'choish v'cha, you think, shemayata hakol yimonu miloseis litzeda v'yenilka b'yad shol. You think that if you tell Shol where I am, you slander me, and you report my whereabouts, and so people are going to stop supporting me. In other words, you go and you're going to start spreading misinformation. You're going to censor me. You're going to cancel me. And no one's going to want to give me parnasim. No one's going to want to give me food. And that way I will easily be caught and trapped by David. You'll sanction me. By Shol. You'll sanction me. You'll tell the whole world no one is allowed to give food in the name of the king Shol. No one is allowed to provide support for this person.
Public and enemy number one.
Is public, you'll declare that I'm public enemy number one. You're going to go. You think that your technique of censoring me, of sanctioning me, all the things that go on in this world today, is going to stop me from success. You make a big mistake. You know why? Because you know who's on my team? Hashem is on my team. Chesed kel kol hayayim. The kindness of Hashem exists the entire day at all times. And being that I am correct, Hashem will help me no matter what. No matter what you think you're going to do to suppress me from succeeding, and you think Matis Halal Biro Hagibar. You're a Gibar. I'm not denying the fact that you're a Talmud Chacham, very smart, and you pride yourself in thinking that your plans and schemes of censoring me is going to succeed. You're making a big mistake. Because Chesed Kel Kol Hayom, Hashem will provide for me. Hashem provides for the humble, for the underdog, and He will guarantee my success. Let's see again the Mitzudas of it clearly. Hagibor, Ata Doyeg Hagibor Batoira, Ma Tishtabeach Atzmecha B'Harosha Sisali. Why do you praise? Why do you take pride in all of the success of all of the evil that you've done to me by preventing me, by telling society that I'm enemy number one, as you said, by thinking, after putting into motion all of your evil policies against me, everyone is going to prevent me from providing me with provisions. I will be captured. You know something? Chesed, v'chi lo yadata, shechesed kel hu b'chol eis, v'yimotsu li merachamim, and I will find people that will have rachmanis upon me. I will find. You know, it's like the story in the news. I'm not here to say politics, none of my business, but it's all over the news, this athlete. He yesterday, what happened? Which sport is it about? He refused to take the vaccine, medical freedom.
Oh, yes.
And they vowed in Australia, yes. And they vowed they would mamish finish this guy off.
Right.
And he said, no, it's my choice, my body, my choice. Okay, I'm not here to go argue.
That's a real pro-choice.
I'm not here to argue the benefits. None of my business. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But he argued and he said, no, I don't want. It's my choice, my body, my whatever it is. And they mamish vowed to drive him out of town. And now he came back after things settled down, and he's all over the news. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Novak Djokovic.
He prevailed. He prevailed, and the whole world is talking about it. So it's mamish like this. Over here, the whole world was against him. And in his situation, everyone is different. I'm not here to go tell you what's good, what's not good, because I don't know anything. But he felt that in his situation, he was a young person, a young, healthy person. He felt that it does not apply to him. Okay, he felt in his situation, again, not to talk about other people, and he prevailed. Chesed kel, you think that your policy is going to stop me? I'll prevail. Chesed yadata shechesed kel hu b'chol eis v'yimotsu li merachamim. person sticks to his values, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. Okay, Pasuk Dalid. Okay, now we go to that is the parish. That is the parish of Rash of Mitzudas. And before we even go further, I want to point out over here, there's a fascinating parish, a shocking parish. It's not so shocking, but it is a little shocking from the who says this? Another translation of the word Chesed. Chesed means. Oh, here it is. It's in the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim only in the Parish Hamilas. He doesn't really explain in the Bar Inyan. He learns Chesed means a disgrace. Where do we find the word Chesed? Who has a disgrace? Incest. That a brother or sister. That all of the Arayos are called the Toevos. Okay, the vast majority of the Arayos in Parshas Emor, right? Parshas Emor. Where's the Arayos? I think Parshas Emor, right? I forgot. Parshas Emor, I think. Achrimois. On Yom Kippur, right. The letter of Yom Kippur. Shabbos Mincha. I'm sorry. What am I thinking? Shabbos Mincha. Achrimois. All of the Arayos. So most of them are called Kikolo Isa Toevos Ha'ele, abominations. But there's one of the Arayos that the Torah calls a Chesed. Chesed. So what does that mean, Chesed? All of the commentators, they really, really sweat. Mm-hmm. Why is it called Chesed? Some go so far to say is that Adam and who did Cain and Hevel marry? They're sisters. So it's called the ultimate Chesed. It was, even though in the time of the creation, even the Shvatim, it was an act of kindness for a brother to marry a sister, but now it's an abomination. So they work with that Yisoid. But the word Chesed assumes means it's kindness. So no, some of the commentators on the Chesed all depends on the context. Sometimes Chesed Goimel, Chasodim, Toivim, Chesed means kindness. But sometimes the Pshuta Shel Mikra Chesed means it's an abomination. It's a disgrace. Chesed Hu. It is the ultimate disgrace, this type of relationship. Chesed Hu. And it's unusual because even though very often, you know, when you have a word, we always discuss this, is that you can go 180 when you have a word and you manipulate its vowels. But in this case, there's no manipulation of the vowels. Okay, we have many, many times. Yishrash, yisharesh. But not in this case. It says chesed, regular way, no manipulation. Chesed, chesed. But yet in that context, it certainly means, a pshuto shel mikra means that this is an act that is beyond an abomination. It has gone so far, there is a tamei, a tumah, a dover that's tamei, sheketz, to'eva, and the ultimate word is chesed. And all the vocabulary words describing things that are not proper in the eyes of Hashem, this tumah, sheketz, to'eva, and the spitz is chesed. Here in this pasuk, some want to say that's what it means in this pasuk. According to the Malbim, ma tishalel bira'ah hagibar chesed kel kol hayoim. It would appear that he learns the word kel does not mean God. It means mighty. You've done incredible acts of abomination. Chesed kel. Kel means mighty. Yesh le'el yodi. Your crimes are beyond the yard. Okay, there are crimes that you've done a dover tomei, you've done a shikutz, you've done a to'eva, and you've done a chesed. You've done a chesed el. A mighty act of disgrace. You've committed genocide. Chesed el, and you don't just do it occasionally. You do this kol hayom. Okay, this is a shocking translation of these words. Okay, according to the Mitzudais, Dov is saying, Avdoye, you think you're going to get me? You think you're going to censor me? Don't worry. The Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of me. Chesed kel kol hayoyim. You want to behave like this? You want to try to kill me? You want to be a Rasha? Hashem will take care of me. Chesed kel kol hayoyim. according to the Malbim, no, we're not describing over here David's relationship with Hashem. This is a continuation to describe the crime of Doyek HaDoimi. The entire day you're busy with committing abominations, not just little abominations. We're dealing here with a systemic abomination. It is a chesed kel, the ultimate, a magnificent crime that continues to endure the entire day. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim on page 471. Look in the Be'er Hamilos on the left side, 471, chesed, miloshoin, pen, yichasedcha shomea. It will be disgraced. Me'inyan cherpa. Ubei shomilas bira'o nimshach l'shnayim, aro'o of chesed. The bay is that when it says the word bira'o, bira'o, that bay should be applied also to the chesed, b'chesed el. It's as if the bays is repeated. We do that very often. So the whole pasuk reads, he doesn't say openly the word El means mighty, but I'm saying it, I'm assuming that's what he means. Because in the Be'er HaInyan, he doesn't really explain this. Look at the Be'er HaInyan. He says over here, Mo HaGibor, let's see, look at pasuk Gimel. Mo Ato HaGibor, Ma Tishalol B'ra'osh Yosisa, Ma Tishal B'chesed, V'cherpas, Kel kol hayoim. Oh no, so he says it differently. See, I didn't realize he says it a little differently, but I'm not backing down from what I said either. I'm not gonna back down from that, but he says it a little differently. Your behavior is a chil Hashem. What you are doing is a disgrace to God. You make believe you're a big Rosh HaYeshiva, you dress black garments and a whole get up. It is a cherpas bicherpas kel kol hayoim. Okay, b'chilul Hashem shasisa laharoig eskarei Hashem. Okay, so I went a little bit too far, but I'm not backing down. I'm still holding on to my two cents and suggesting, because you have a lot of precedent for this, is that in this context, according to the Malbim, if you want to say that it means chesed, chesed means a disgrace. By the way, if it really means kel, as the Malbim says, which I'm not, who am I to chas v'shalom argue in the Malbim, usually there is a mafsik between a bad word and the Hashem's name. Very, very common. Whenever you have Hashem's name that's holy, and right next to it is a word which is a negative word, like in this context, you would have a vertical line. It's very, very common. So my challenge is, according to the Malbim, why isn't there a vertical line between the word chesed and the word kel? If you want to learn that what you are doing doyeg is a chilul Hashem, ma tishalel bira'ah hagibar. What are you praising yourself the whole day? What you're doing is, it's b'chesed kel, it is a disgrace, it is a disgrace to God, to Hashem, the entire day, your behavior. Okay, I'm saying a drush, it does not say this anywhere, and I'm suggesting, I don't know if you can do that, because over here is if the Mesorah is that Kel is Kodesh, you have no right to make it not Kodesh, but there are many places in Tanakh where Kel is not Kodesh. We even have some of the Farshim telling us openly that it's not Kodesh, is if you do want to say that Chesed means a disgrace. So there are different types of disgraces. There's a little disgrace and there's a big disgrace. Kel means a mighty. Well, your behavior is a chesed kel, really a massive disgrace. Kol hayoim. All right, that's a thought. Let's go further.
I was wondering, though, if chesed if Gibor and chesed were together, then would it be chosed at the end of a phrase? I'm going to bring in Kalman on this one. No?
Well, it depends. It will be an asnachta.
Would it be Hagibor chosed?
It is no asnachta.
But it's not. It's not a Gibor chosed.
No, it's not. Exactly.
But the kel has its own.
So self, therefore, it's completely different. So therefore,
everyone puts the word chesed and kel together.
Yeah. Okay.
So therefore, it's appropriate. Everyone puts the chesed and kel together. So there's no one is saying a pshat that Biroh HaGibor Chesed. And then you're right, then it should say Chosed. But you should know, a lot of the segels are very, very tricky. Because, for example, in Parashas Va'era, it says there's an end of a pasuk. Twice it says Tevin. The Parashas Shemos. Parashas Shemos, two psukim, Parashas Shemos talk about that Paro will not provide the straw. And twice, at the end of the parasha, I think it's Shvi, it's a soif pasuk, and the word is Tevin, when you would expect it to be Tovin. I once asked someone this, a big expert, he told me he doesn't know. And he told me that he asked Lenchitz, you know the Rabbi Lenchitz? I asked Yeshaya Lenchitz, why is it Tevin and not Tovin? So he told me that he asked his father, Shri Shabi Gzunt, right, Rabbi Lenchitz, and he told me that his father told him he doesn't know. So could you imagine? Rabbi Lenchitz, Rabbi Baruch doesn't believe it.
He doesn't know
it. Rabbi Baruch doesn't believe that he said he doesn't know. Why does it say at the end of the pasuk in Parashas Shemos and Shvi, there are two psukim, check out, there are two psukim in the story that Paro will no longer provide the tevin, and the Jewish people will have to go out into the fields and collect the straw. And in this story, it says the word at the end of a soif pasuk, the word is tevin. And you would expect it to say, according to the laws of grammar, tovin. And it's a very big mystery as to why indeed does it say Tevin and not Toven.
So Tevin is understanding.
That's why, because it means to understand. If you would say, could be, 100% could be. So it's interesting, why, sometimes you have words when you change the vowel, it can mean something totally different also. But just, the grammar sometimes overrides, you'll say Toven. Tovin. Yeah. I don't know, this is beyond my, I'm not even coming, this is beyond me. So ever since I heard that, I got...
That's words. So he didn't know.
He didn't know grammar. Ever since that happened to me, it really caused me damage. Because then when I come to, you know, the rules, I'll be like, oh, let's say you would have a soif, you would have a nesnachta, and you would expect it to say chosed, and it says chesed. So I'm already damaged. Because I know that I don't know anything. I've already learned my lesson that I don't know when do you say this, when you say that. There are a lot of exceptions, and you have to be a big, big mumche to really know what you're talking about here. All right, in any event, over here, it's chesed kel kol hayom, fine. Let's suppose it dalit, havoitz, this is a hard word to read this way. It took me many years to learn how to read when there are two vavs. The first vav is really the letter. The second vav is the vowel. It's the vowel, it's ha-vos, it's a cholam. The second letter is not, the second letter is just there to hold up that dot on the top. The second vav, when there are two, the second vav is not part of the shirish. The second vav is the vowel, ha-vos, tachshon. Now what is ha-vos? Ha-vos means corruption. Havos is a good Hebrew word, vocabulary word. Corruption. How does the Mitzudas David translate the word Havos? Does he? He doesn't. The Mitzudas David? Shever. Brokenness. To break. To shatter. To shatter. Midever Havos. From the plague. The plague. Midever Havos. That shatters. It brings destruction.
Devastating.
A devastating plague. Very good. It all depends on the context of how it's used, but it basically means to destroy, to break, to shatter, of devastation. So in this case, havois tachshoiv lishoinecha. Your tongue thinks, and over here it's really not the right word. You would think it should speak. So the Mefarshim explained is that whatever comes out of a person's tongue is an indication of what he's thinking. Okay, words don't come out of nowhere. A Freudian slip. Person makes a comment, it's a revelation of what really is going on in the person's mind. So doeg, the entire day, you're thinking how to destroy me. Havois, destruction, devastation. Tachshoiv lishoinecha. thoughts of Churban occupy your mind and ultimately come forth from your mouth through the guise of misinformation or through disinformation. You work the whole day on promoting an agenda that is completely a lie, and in the process, now this is very powerful, this is a very, very, very powerful statement what it says now. Ki sahar milutosh oisei remia. Like a razor, a sharp razor, you engage in deceit. It took me a very long time to understand what this means until I saw it by accident. The Malbec finally explained that what it means is you go to the barber, and the barber, this is very graphic now, so hold on. Go to the barber, oh, let me give you a shave. Take out a razor. I'll give you know, a little shave in the back. No, you know, there's no isser to go use a razor in the back of the head. Take out a razor. And what does the barber do with the razor? He begins to cut. And he cuts so deep, he chops off the person's head. So the sar, the razor, is deceitful. I'm just cutting off some hair. You're coming to the barber. You need a haircut. So let me take out a razor to cut some hair. And what does the barber do with the razor? He cuts off the person's head. So the razor really is an innocent tool that's used 99.999% of the time to do something beneficial, to give a person. So the barber, right, I'm just gonna take off a little bit off the top. And then what does he do? The barber begins to cut, and he cuts into the person's head, and he kills him. This is what doyik ha'adami, this is what misinformation is all about. You have a license to present news. And you begin by starting out with the truth, and then you abuse the koyach hadibur, your words and your ability to communicate, and you go too far. You go too far, and you abuse that platform and that license that you have to bring upon the population enormous harm. This is the maskil that we mentioned, King of the Mizmar, that David is teaching the danger of doyek ha'adami. Doyek ha'adami was obviously a master of speech, a master of language, a master communicator, and he used his koyach hadibur to convince Shaul that the entire city of Noiv are all a bunch of good for nothings, and they all should be executed for no crime, for nothing. Look, David, he took all the information of what happened. David came to this city. David was starving. And look what they did. He twisted and turned every piece of information in order to bring enormous harm upon innocent people. And this is what the Mizmor begins, a maskil to David. There are people out there all over the world that do this every single day. They have tools. They have the ability to, which are meant to bring benefit and pleasure to this world. And they use these tools as a weapon to harm society. Just like a barber has a razor, and the razor, when it's used properly, can make a person look beautiful. Melech biyofyoy sechazeno einecha. A king gets a haircut every single day, so the king should look beautiful. And the tool that's used to give him the haircut is a razor. So the razor is a tool which brings beauty into this world. But when the person that's using the razor is not careful or has an agenda, he can take that razor and literally chop off the king's head.
It's not only true for the razor, it's true for any technology.
A car. A car is a kli mashkes, an airplane. An airplane is the greatest invention to bring people all over the world. And look what these Meshugayim did, 9/11. To use it as a weapon to bring enormous grief to the entire world. Everything in the world is can be used. So this is just a mashal. Look at how the Malbim explains this.
The tongue.
I say Doeg was a master communicator, and Doeg used his koyach hadibur to destroy Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim for no good reason.
You have to see it on a fertile ground. Acceptable, a ground fertile, so the seed should grow. In
okay.
This case, the words of
Doeg.
Yeah, you
It was acceptable by Saul.
By Saul, right. He knew what to do. He knew how to abuse. The Koyach HaDibur is the greatest gift that Hashem gave man. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach memalala. And it's the greatest gift in the world. And Doeg took the Koyach HaDibur and he used it to destroy, used it as a tool to murder 85 tzaddikim. And it's a marshal for everything in life. Everything in life is like that. Look what it says over here in the Pasuk Dal, in the Malbim, on page 471. 471 it says, Haloshon shalucho choshva machashavis latzos havois v'shever ad shehi kisar milutosh, like a sharp razor, shehi oisei remia, shetachas, sheyachshav lehosir bo haseor. Instead of using the blade to cut off the hair on the head, the nevel, and anything that's, no, let's say there's some dirt, there's some mud. Yeah, I'm giving you a haircut. Before you know, the guy is decapitated. He's decapitated. I want to give an eloquent speech. The Koyach HaDibur. Came tachash ratzisa lehasir machshela mibeis shol shafachta dam nikiyim. You went and you made believe, oh, there's an evil person. David is evil. Shol gave a license. The Shol gave the green light to kill David. That itself is a problem. But Doeg, he took that license. Oh, David is enemy number one. You know what? Let's wipe out Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Just because Shol gave the green light to take out David, who gave you the green light to take out Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim? What's going on over here? You know, it's like the Koyach of writing. Today, you know, today, where is the Makar to write letters? Everything that we know that on Shabbos, there are Lamed Tes Melachos. There are 39 categories of labor. The 39 categories of labor all correspond to 39 acts of labor that Hashem employed to create this world. There is a parallel between the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos and 39 acts of creative labor that Hashem engaged in. Right, exactly. Whatever was in the Mishkan, there was a parallel. The Mishkan is a microcosm of this world. These are very deep ideas. The building of the Mishkan is a microcosm of the creation of this world. Every act of labor that was involved in creating the Mishkan was involved in creating the world. Okay, you have to decipher. This is a very big mystery. What this means? This is what Chazal say. There are 39 categories of labor on Shabbos.
That's why the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan is compared to the
creation of the world. Maserachus. There is a parallel between the creation of the world and the building of the Mishkan. Therefore, every act of labor that you find in the Mishkan, there's something to be said about that in relation to the world. Where in the Mishkan do we find the act of writing? We're not allowed to write.
The labeling,
the sequencing of the krushim. Mm-hmm. How many krushim were there in the Mishkan? I have to know this. How many krushim? 50, right? 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, the boards. They were the krashim. So when they when you take apart your sukkah, you write down one on each panel. On each panel, one, two, three, four. So next year.
Like when you get instructions for assembling on anything.
On anything that you buy today, right? So next year, when you reassemble it, you should reassemble it exactly the way you assembled it last year. Now, why? When it comes to the Mishkan, when they traveled 48 times in the desert, so every time they moved, they had to disassemble the Mishkan. And when they came to a new location, they had to put all the parts back together. So in order to make sure that all of the Kerashim were put up exactly the way they were before, they wrote on each Keresh a number and a letter. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. And so that's where we find in the Mishkan, Kitziva. The question, what's the big deal? All of the Kerashim were identical. So who cares? If you'll tell me that each Keresh was a little bit different, so you want them to fit into place, okay? So then, you know, you want to make it easy to reassemble. But if anyway all of the Kerushim were identical, so what difference does it make if you put this one here, that one there? So the Gemara says it's a disgrace to the Keresh. The Keresh, the Kerushim, seems to have some life to them. These are holy matters. It was used closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Keresh Shezoch Aliyos B'Marov. It has to be there. Malin V'loy Moridin. So the purpose of writing on the Kerushim was for what purpose? Was to give honor. Is that don't be mivaze a Keresh. If until now this Keresh was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a disgrace that in the next journey, this Keresh is going to be demoted and put in the back.
But it wasn't permanent.
It doesn't matter. As long as the Kerushim were, no, people aren't permanent either. No one lasts forever. As long as the Keresh was used, the 40 years in the desert, if this Keresh had the zechus that it was used in the Mizrach, someone donated gold for this Keresh. Someone so this person, a lot of pride, it's my gold that went to plate this Keresh. Now you're going to demote me. You're going to take the Keresh, that my gold, and it's going to go into the back? It's a disgrace. I have pride that it's my gold that's now standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A Keresh that had the merit to be in the Mizrach, it's a disgrace if it will be put in the Marav, or the Marav, whatever, the Marav in the Mizrach, because there the Marav was more Chashev. So it was, what was the purpose of writing? It was to give honor. It was to prevent bezyonis. That's the source of where we find the koyach of ksiva in this world. Today, what do people do? They take the gift of writing and they write op-eds in newspapers and magazines that are read by millions of people, all doing what? Putting to shame other people. The ikur koyach of writing was given to Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan for kavod, that a keresh should not be disgraced. So for a person to come along and take the talent of writing and use it to write lashon hara and to write nasty, horrible things about other people publicly is the ultimate abuse of a gift that Hashem gave this world. Efeshia?
Yeah, some people have a hakpada on a sukkah that they put the walls always in
the same place. Because it's like a mishkan. The sukkah is like the mishkan. The sukkah is like the mishkan, so the panel, the fiberglass panel that was zoicha to be at the head of the table, always must be at the head of the table. Zecher lemishkan, that the keresh that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim should always be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's where the malach of ksiva came into play to number these kerushim in order not to bring a disgrace. If you're going to take that koyach of ksiva and use it today to write lashon hara about people or to write outright lies, you're abusing the blessing of ksiva. And this goes on ma'aseh mechol yom. So it's the same thing over here. Over here, yeah, is a tongue. The koyach adibur was given for bracha, was given to communicate, was given to daven to Hashem. And yedoyik v'adom, you're taking this tongue, and your tongue is l'shoncha, havoyz tachshev l'shoncha, kesar melutosh, oyser remiyah. Let's just finish up with the mitzvah. We'll stop. Pasuk dalet, the mitzvah David. Pasuk dalet, tachshev l'shoncha, l'fisha loshon tegale, it reveals machsheves halev, omar, the tongue reveals what's in the mind. When a person speaks, he's revealing what's going on in his mind. That's why it says the word tachshoiv in relation to the tongue. Omar tachshoiv l'shoinecha oisei remiyah. You do deceit shechoitecha bosor im haseor. I didn't know what that meant until I read the Malbim. The Malbim means you make believe. Really, I'm going to go and go cut your hair. I'm giving you a haircut. I'm giving you a haircut. Innocent. Come. There's a halacha, by the way, you're not going to get a haircut by a goy. We're not makbid on this today, but I think it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to get a haircut. So there's a mirror. You have to see what the guy is doing. You're not allowed to get a haircut by a guy because you're afraid that the guy will kill you. He's holding in his hand a razor. What's it take? It takes 1 second to kill you. So you're going to trust the guy? You're going to trust the guy to get a haircut? So why today are we so makele?
Well, they use an electric razor.
Why? They have razors also. They have all the tools there. They got them all. You're not allowed to take a haircut by a guy because that's what he's saying. That's what Revelation is saying. That's why you have to have mirrors. So you have to see what the guy is doing. What's the heter for us to go and have a haircut by a guy? Everyone is watching. Everyone is watching. Everyone is watching their cameras. Really? So he's saying, it used to be that you get a haircut, there's no mirror. See, people think the reason why there's a mirror, he's saying, you remember, you're reminding, you're right. People, the reason why you go to a barber, there's a mirror, is because you want to watch. It's entertaining. The barber doesn't need a mirror. The barber doesn't look in the mirror. When the barber cuts you, he doesn't need a mirror. What? You're right, it's a big problem. It's talking very true. You take off your glasses, you can't see yourself anyway, what he's doing.
You say you go with somebody else.
Why is there a mirror in a barber shop? Why? The barber doesn't need a mirror. He can see exactly what he's doing. The mirror is for you. It's for you to see what he's doing. That's what the average person will say. That's not the real reason. That's a new reason. Someone made it up. That's a new reason. The reason why there's a mirror is to make sure the barber doesn't kill you. That's the reason why, how it originated. It originated because, well, you're going to go tell the barber, oh, do it like this. You don't tell the barber what to do. You come and sit in my chair. I'm the boss here. I'm going to cut the hair the way I want it. If you don't like me, don't come back next time. You don't come back. Once you're sitting in his chair, it's too late to give him orders. So why is there a mirror? Originally, the reason why there was a mirror was to make sure it doesn't kill you. Because if you see that he's taking whatever, that's you'll fight back. But over here, this is what he says over here. This is you cut the se'ar imhab, the basar imha se'ar. You're only supposed to cut my hair, not my skin. That's the danger. And that's exactly what David accuses Doeg of doing. He's an abuser. He is an abuser. Shechoyte chabosar im ha'seyar. V'chein ata ki misin oscha, due to your hatred for me, look what you did. If you don't like me, so kill me. Why do you have to kill Noiv, Ir ha'koyhanim? Who asked you to kill 85 tzadikim? V'chein ata ki misin oscha he'evadita l'chohanei Noiv. You killed the whole city of Noiv. Okay, it's late. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue.
You can't go to a doctor because you're going to a doctor.